on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Steel.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. New York authorities say that forensic matches tie the murder suspect Luigi Maggioni to the killing of United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson in New York. NYPD Commissioner Jessica Tisch.
We were able to match that gun to the three shell casings that we found in Midtown at the scene of the homicide.
Also, CBS News has learned that authorities recovered a notebook from Maggioni at the time of his arrest, and written inside was that he considered using a bomb but decided on a shooting because it would be more targeted and would not put innocent lives in danger. The Franklin Fire burning in Malibu, California, is 7% contained, with thousands of residents still under mandatory evacuation orders. No deaths or injuries have been linked to the blaze, which broke out Monday night. CBS's Carter Evans is in Malibu.
I spoke with one woman who basically said she saw the fire coming over the hilltop, and she realized that there was no sheriff coming by on the loudspeaker telling everyone to evacuate. So she got up, she ran outside, started knocking on neighbors' doors to wake them up so they could get to safety themselves.
The flames have charred more than 6 square miles. Christopher Wray says he is leaving the top job at the FBI. The latest from CBS's Michael Toscano.
Wray told FBI staffers it's best for the FBI and its mission.
For me to serve until the end of the current administration in January and then step down.
President-elect Trump has said he wants Wray, who he appointed to the job for a 10-year term 7 years ago, gone, leaving Wray the choice of resigning or being fired.
This is the best way to avoid dragging the Bureau deeper into the fray.
Trump has named former aide Kash Patel as his choice for the job, and Patel said after Ray's announcement,
I'll be ready to go on day one.
Michael Toscano, CBS News, Washington.
The man who led Syrian rebels in taking down the Bashar al-Assad regime says he will dissolve the forces, and as CBS's Elizabeth Palmer reports from Damascus.
With their military victory complete, the Islamist fighters who swept into Syria's capital on Sunday are switching to politics. They have appointed an acting prime minister and promised national elections in March.
A judge has declared a mistrial in the killing of University of Mississippi student Jimmy Lee, who was a prominent in the local LGBTQ plus community. A jury said it could not agree on a verdict in the trial of Sheldon Timothy Harrington Jr. He was tried in Oxford, where Lee was last seen. Prosecutors say Lee was killed after a sexual encounter between him and Harrington ended badly. Harrington maintained his innocence and did not testify. Another trial will be set. U.S. inflation ticked up last month. This is CBS News.
Steel holiday savings are here. Find the perfect gift at your local Steel dealer or shop the Steel holiday gift guide at steelusa.com. That's steilusa.com.
Seth here, host of Over the Back Fence. We're on the air live every Saturday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. taking your calls to buy or sell, talk local events, or whatever, only on WFHR.
The Badgers lose again. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college basketball, a bit of a shocker. Wisconsin could not keep up and lost to the Fighting Illini in Champaign, 86-80. Badgers head coach Greg Gard asked if he was surprised how well unranked Illinois played against them.
I think there's a lot of parity across the league. I don't know if there's a dominant team. I mean, I haven't seen them all exclusively, but there's a lot of really good teams, but we've got a long ways to go.
The Badgers have now lost 3 in a row. College football, the Wisconsin Badgers have now lost both their starting quarterbacks. First, it was Tyler Van Dyke earlier this week, and today, Braden Locke, announcing he, too, is entering the transfer portal out of Madison. NFL, the Packers play the Seahawks Sunday night. Safety Zane Anderson on what they saw on film in their loss to the Lions in Detroit.
It's frustrating watching some of the film. Just there's some plays out there, just details of where we need to be. So there's some stuff to clean up, but it's 1 week at a time.
At safety Zane Anderson with sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Even though the parents have already been met several times, there is talk of a new Meet the Parents chapter. Deadline reports that actors Robert De Niro, Terry Polo, Ben Stiller, and Blythe Danner are in talks to appear in the new film. Most of the producer team is returning, but there is no one attached yet to direct. Details about the plot are being kept hush-hush. What on earth could this possibly be about? I'm guessing family-related discomfort. We are learning a lot about Jamie Foxx thanks to his new comedy special on Netflix. In addition to addressing his stroke a couple years ago and the 20-day coma that followed, Foxx used the platform to announce that he is done dating white women, adding humorously that he will no longer eat potato salad and raisins. Before you judge him, if you are, I'm done dating white women too, mostly because I'm married to a white woman. who loves potato salad. I don't get it either, Jamie. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Any flurries lingering this evening will wrap up, some clearing overnight, bitter cold with lows near 5 below, wind chills to 20 below. Sunshine returns for tomorrow, a high only around 5 above, but it warms to the upper teens for Friday. Right now, it's zero.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time for a very special edition of the show. You know how fascism creeps in? On little cat's feet. Matt Flynn in the guest host chair. Join him.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Up North News Radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
For God's sake, give more power to the people. There's some people up there hogging everything.
Telling lies, giving out a bath about the people's money.
What's up, everybody? How you doing today? Happy hump day. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Really happy to congratulate Chris. Listening on WISS from 920, Chris K was our last hourly Civic Media grown-up gift list text-to-win sweepstakes winner. So congratulations to Chris K from the WISS listening area. They just won either $100 or an overnight stay at the Chula Vista. We got a bunch of grand prizes that we give away at the end. There's 8 of them. We got robot vacuums, humidifiers, luggage, espresso machines, all kinds of cool stuff. And the next giveaway is going to start at 4 p.m., top of the next hour, with my little buddy, Dom Salvia, who's got the show that follows mine every Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m., Remember, in order to win, you got to text in via the app. So get that app downloaded for free from wherever you get your apps from. But today, more news coming out on Luigi Mangione. He is the suspect in the United Healthcare CEO's assassination that occurred last week. By the way, today was the date of the CEO's funeral. Those funeral proceedings happening today. Luigi's lawyer has given some interviews. We've got some sound from that because I want to give you my take on his lawyer. I got to tell you, I'm scratching my head a little bit, but I'm going to want to hear what you think after you check out a couple of these interviews. I also did some internet sleuthing about this lawyer. You know me, y'all. Like, I do all the work so you don't have to. I am your resident lawyer that doesn't give legal advice on the radio and economist. I'm the one you know that you can call up and ask questions of. So I did some sleuthing on his lawyer. I'll share those thoughts. But I wanted to update you on some of the new evidence that has come to light, as well as talk a little bit about what I can describe as only very awkwardly uncomfortable online traffic. After the Luigi update, we're going to throw it open to each and every one of you to talk about, have you had to break up with friends, family, or a romantic partner over politics? Some really interesting statistics coming out from the state of Wisconsin on that. It's a bigger problem than we all might guess, or maybe you did guess this, but we'll discuss. I'll share some of my personal stories, and I'm going to want to hear from each and every one of you. If you want to get in the caller queue to talk about whether, especially if you want to share a story of somebody that you had to break ties with because of politics, get in that caller list now, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. So these evidentiary updates on the Luigi Mangione cases are confirmed. They've been reported widely, but breaking today. The first is that there were fingerprints found at the scene, and that those fingerprints match the fingerprints of Mr. Mangione. They took his prints, obviously, when they arrested him. They've now established a match between his prints taken upon arrest and, let's see here, I believe a water bottle and a snack bar wrapper recovered from near the crime scene. Wow. We also now have heard that there is a notebook that is separate and apart from the, I don't know, 262 word manifesto, as it's been called. This notebook was mentioned in the manifesto, and it in the notebook, the suspect refers to this killing as a quote symbolic takedown. And again, it goes on and on, sort of detailing his plans. That is pretty incredible. In addition, new evidence coming to light today that indicates that the gun that Mr. Mangione had on him upon his arrest, that gun, its ballistics match the shell casings found at the murder scene. So again, all of this new information coming to light over the last day or so. Here's another passage from this notebook. Again, just being revealed today that there was a notebook that mentioned the manifesto, that the manifesto mentioned the notebook. This is another line from the notebook confirmed by reporting in the New York Times. What do? You whack the CEO at the annual parasitic bean counter convention. It's targeted, precise, and doesn't risk innocence. Wow. We also have found out that there was quite an extensive set of posts on Reddit from Mr. Mangione where he described a series of life-altering health problems. He explained his back pain had worsened until a surgery in 2023, that he was struggling with brain fog. And in fact, his mother had filed a missing persons report just last month on Mr. Mangione. So pretty incredible set of facts and circumstances here. Again, he lived in a co-living space. One of his roommates there said that Mr. Mangione had shared information about his back surgery, that he had had pins put in, that he complained of bones grinding together. Quite extraordinary. Some of the, again, social media posting about Mr. Mangione can only be described generously as inappropriate. Others would probably call it downright disgusting, especially women talking about his attractiveness level, all sorts of things along those lines. I find just extraordinarily disturbing. But I promised you some of the sound of Andrew Cuomo's interview of Mr. Mangione's lawyer, who's a guy by the name of Thomas Dickey, a lawyer out of Altoona, Pennsylvania. Before we do that, Cardi was kind enough to pull some of Mr. Mangione's valedictorian address at the Gilman All Boys Prep School in Maryland. Let's take a quick listen to what Mr. Mangione had to say back when he graduated from high school.
Just like we've done these past few years, we're exploring the unknown, whether it be attending colleges across the country, traveling the world during gap years, or fulfilling military service in foreign countries. As we embrace the new, however, we won't forget the old. Our friendships, values, and memories from Gilman will always stay with us.
Sounds pretty reasonable. But let's take a little listen to at least a couple bits here from this interview between Andrew Cuomo and Mr. Mangione's lawyer. This guy's name is, he's a criminal defense lawyer from Altoona, Pennsylvania. His name is Thomas Dickey. We're just going to take cut two, Cardi. Let's take a listen.
So your client had an opportunity.
This is Andrew Cuomo.
To say you got the wrong guy, never did. He apologizes in his manifesto for the pain he has caused. He gave voice to his motivation today in front of the cameras. And yet, am I correct that you believe you don't think he did it?
Well, Chris, one thing I always liked about watching you is you're a lawyer, okay? So I don't know if you've done much criminal work or not, but my client hasn't faced any actual criminal charges from New York yet. So he hasn't had an opportunity to make any plea. My anticipation is going to be when and if that happens, he's going to plead not guilty.
Fascinating sort of setup. The butt kissing is a little weird at the beginning. Well, you're a lawyer. I mean, it's just this interview is by any stretch strange. Let's go ahead and take cut 11, this last one, Cardi, and then we're going to listen to some more probably on the other side. But let's take a listen to cut 11. Just take a listen.
How would you assess his mood? Did he seem upset? Did he seem worried? How would you assess his mood? Did he seem upset? Did he seem worried?
Well, here's what I tell everybody, Chris, today is, you know, use your common sense. You're a young man or an old man or whoever you are, and you're accused of, you know, he hasn't been accused yet that I've seen, but the talk and the anticipation, you know, probably out there is that he may be charged with a very serious offense. He's certainly behind bars, which I believe is wrong. I felt that the judge should have set bail today.
Really? The guy allegedly fulfilled a days, weeks, months long plan to execute a CEO that he had no prior contact with because why? He had back pain and back problems. I mean, I don't mean to be at all glib at all, right? But his lawyers sort of tap dancing around these things. Well, just say he's potentially facing murder charges and you know, he's not in a great place. Just to answer the question, this whole lawyer's demeanor is very strange to me. I'm going to share a little bit of the sleuthing if you're curious about, what did my lawyer friend Maggie Dawn on the radio find out about Mr. Mangione's lawyer when she did a little internet sleuthing about one Mr. Thomas Dickey, criminal defense lawyer of Altoona, Pennsylvania. I might have even gone so far as to go to that Google Earth thing and check out the law offices, y'all. I'm just saying, it's pretty fascinating. We've got almost a little tete-a-tete as well, like a little standoff between Andrew Cuomo and the lawyer. It's all very fascinating. When we come back, I'm going to share all of that with each of you. I'm going to give you my take on where this prosecution stands. And did you know that this case has some really creepy analogies or echoes with a couple of Hollywood films with stars you know? And I mean, eerie similarities. I'm going to tell you my take on the lawyer, talk about what I found on Google Earth, and tell you these movies that seem to have some eerie predictive quality as it relates to Mr. Mangione's alleged killing of the United Healthcare CEO. All that's coming up next. You're not going to want to miss any of it. And don't you worry, we're going to get to your breakup stories. Have you broken up with family, friend, or romantic partner over politics? Those calls and discussion will begin at the bottom of the half hour. The lawyer sound is up next. Keep it locked, y'all. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. By the way, that's Chris Cuomo, not Andrew. Andrew's the former governor of New York.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids home of Nightlight with Peach Schwabba.
Lowe's knows how to help you save time and money, no matter the job. That's why we can deliver supplies to your job site as soon as same day, so you have more time to get the job done. Because when you need it fast, we've got you covered. Lowe's knows pros. Valid on eligible in-stock orders and select zip codes placed by 2 p.m. for same-day delivery by 8 p.m. Subject to driver availability. Fees vary based on purchase. More terms apply. See Lowe's.com/same-day-delivery for details.
Once again, it's the busy holiday season. Take the time to consider some financial moves before we turn the calendar to 2025. First, review your investment portfolio to ensure it is performing as expected and still fits your goals, risk tolerance, and time horizon. Next, consider adding to your 401k and health savings account. And if you have a flexible spending account, you'll want to spend any unused funds before the year ends or else risk losing them. If you have children, consider opening a 529 education savings plan, which allows for tax-free withdrawals for qualified education expenses. Contribute to an emergency fund to help cover 6 months of living expenses or unexpected costs, such as a major home or car repair. And if you're 73 or older, make sure you take your required withdrawals from your traditional IRA so you can avoid penalties. Finally, review your estate plans, especially if you've recently experienced changes in your family situation, such as marriage, remarriage, or the birth of a child. This is Clay Kanoki, your Edward Jones Financial Advisor at 715-421-0958. Member SIPC.
To everyone who wants a meal made just for you, let our team member Arish share what makes Culver's special.
We know the best meals are the ones shared with the people you love, like our cook-to-order butter burgers and our real Wisconsin cheese curds and our creamy, fresh, frozen custard. I put the same care into your meal that I would for my own family.
Order ahead on the app or culvers.com for a meal made the Wisconsin way.
From Wisconsin with love,
welcome to Delicious.
Culver's on 8th Street South in Wisconsin Rapids.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Everybody, I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Ben, giving you the most recent updates on the Luigi Mangione arrest and what is sure to be murder prosecution related to the killing of United Healthcare CEO last week. Thank you to Joanna from Madison and, let's see, Wes from Middleton for correcting my flub on the air, because we've been airing some sound between Chris Cuomo, formerly of CNN, now at News Nation, and Mr. Mangione's attorney, one Thomas Dickey. Mr. Thomas Dickey, Esquire, from Altoona, Pennsylvania. It was an interesting interview with Andrew Cuomo. I think the interviews have been overall interesting with Mr. Dickey. But take a listen to this back and forth. There's a number of cuts that Cardi's going to run. Just run them all back to back, my friend. Just everybody take a listen, and then I'm going to give you my take on attorney Thomas Dickey.
In terms of developing why he would not be responsible, what understanding do you have about this quiet period that this guy had, where nobody could get in touch with him after his surgery, where people were worried about him, that led his family to report him missing? What do you know about that period?
I know nothing about that, Chris, so I wouldn't comment on that, and I would only be speculating, and I don't even know what's out there. You know, if I disappoint you, I'm sorry, and too bad. I've been involved in this case for, you know, probably less than, 12 hours now, and as a lawyer should do, is I got to look at evidence, and, I'm not going to go by conjecture and opinions and speculation, what people think. We as lawyers look at evidence. So, today, tomorrow will be another day, and we're gonna start looking into that.
Have you had a chance to speak to your client?
I have.
And how did you meet him in terms of his demeanor and disposition towards this?
As I told everybody today, Chris, my idea was to develop a relationship, a bond, so to speak, an attorney-client relationship. Where I want to have him have trust and faith in me and vice versa. And so I thought that we accomplished that today and that in the short time we've had together.
That's why I asked you, did he ask you to express anything to the rest of us? Not did he tell you a secret that you feel like sharing?
Well, no. If you ask me what he asked me, that is a conversation we've had, and I think that's attorney-client privilege, and I'm not going to touch that.
No, that's not what I'm asking. How did you assess him in terms of, does he seem okay to you? Did he seem healthy? Did he seem able to focus and understand you? Did he seem balanced?
Well, I think he made some knowing decisions today when we decided that we're challenging this extradition. I don't make those evaluations necessarily at this level, and so he seemed to understand my questions. He seemed to be able to interact with me, and so I was pleased with that.
So this is a fascinating back and forth. Cuomo was basically just trying to ask the lawyer, hey, did your client have anything that he wanted you to tell the American public on his behalf, right? Like, that was the question. And the guy keeps, well, that's attorney-client communicate. No, not if your client told you to tell the American public X, Y, and Z. So that's weird. And this whole, like, well, I'm a lawyer and we look at evidence. And I'm sorry if I can't give you more, but that's your problem. Like, no kidding, lawyers look at evidence. What are you doing the interview for if you have absolutely nothing to share other than I just got hired and know nothing about this and have had a conversation that I can't tell you anything about other than the fact that my client was conscious and could speak words? Like, that is basically the entire upshot of Chris Cuomo's interview with Thomas Dickey. So, y'all, because, again, I like to do the legwork for you as your lawyer and economist friend on the radio that does not dispense legal advice. I went on to Google Earth and looked up Mr. Thomas Dickey's office. Now, a lawyer's office does not necessarily equate to the seriousness or the gravitas of the lawyer or the breadth of their experience, certainly. But it's like a one-story 1970s cheapo construction in a semi-residential neighborhoody sort of strip mall joint. I got to tell you, if I was the most wanted man in America for 5 days, was now facing extradition and potential murder charges, I probably wouldn't be hiring the guy from the strip mall, especially if my parents were extremely wealthy, politically connected people. I just think it's weird. Thomas Dickey from Altoona, Pennsylvania, with a tiny little law practice, is who this guy is hired. Now, maybe Mr. Dickey's just has been hired just for the extradition or just for these couple of hearings, but Mr. Dickey's sure making hay while the sun shines, taking all these interviews. I mean, that's a PR point that I will share with you. If you ever should find yourself in a position where you've been charged with a serious crime, you might want to consider telling your lawyer, if they're not, you know, prime time ready, that they do not have your permission to speak with the media, because I don't think Mr. Dickey is doing his client any favors. I don't know about y'all. My Cousin Vinny-esque. Oh my gosh, a texter just said that very thing from the 262. My Cousin Vinny comes to mind. Thank you, texter. Great minds think alike. And Ben Braffman, who's a very prominent criminal defense lawyer in New York, whose clients have included Sean Combs, Harvey Weinstein, Dominique Strauss-Kahn, said Wednesday that the police had amassed an overwhelming amount of evidence. This was rather a brazen act of violence, given that there doesn't seem to be an inch of Manhattan that isn't covered in video recording devices. It's hard to explain away what happened. Yeah. Now, Mr. Braffman points out what the point is here. Most people, when questioned about this issue, will say, yeah, I dealt with the healthcare industry and I wasn't happy about it. But those folks didn't go out and shoot the head of a health insurance company, did they? When we come back, I want to hear from you. Have you broken up with a friend, a family member, or a romantic partner because of politics? I've got some interesting statistics to share with you about the state of dating in America, and especially the state of marriages and dating in the state of Wisconsin following Donald Trump's re-election last month. Don't miss this. You're going to want to keep it locked. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Join us. 855-75-CIVIC. 855-752-4842. Your stories of loved, lost, and maybe found again are up next.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR. CBS News Brief. New York City police say they've matched shell casings from the scene of last week's fatal shooting of an insurance CEO to a gun found on suspect Luigi Mangione. CBS's Anna Schechter.
We can have all this circumstantial evidence, but DNA and fingerprints putting this person of interest at the scene of the crime, that is gold for the prosecutors.
The Franklin Fire in Malibu, California is only 7% contained and has burned over 6 square miles. An incident commander saying last hour,
having completed 25% of the inspection area, the Franklin Fire has damaged a total of 6 structures and destroyed 9 structures.
FBI Director Christopher Wray says he'll resign at the end of the Biden administration and stresses the need for the FBI to remain independent.
Our dedication to independence and objectivity and our defense of the rule of law, those fundamental aspects of who we are must never change.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
The Badgers lose again. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college basketball, a bit of a shocker. Wisconsin could not keep up and lost to the Fighting Illini in Champaign, 86-80. Badgers head coach Greg Gard asked if he was surprised how well unranked Illinois played against them.
I think there's a lot of parity across the league. I don't know if there's a dominant team. I mean, I haven't seen them all exclusively, but there's a lot of really good teams, but we've got a long ways to go.
The Badgers have now lost 3 in a row. College football, the Wisconsin Badgers have now lost both their starting quarterbacks. First, it was Tyler Van Dyke earlier this week, and today, Braden Locke announcing he too is entering the transfer portal out of Madison. NFL, the Packers play the Seahawks Sunday night. Safety Zane Anderson on what they saw on film in their loss to the Lions in Detroit.
It's frustrating watching some of the film. Just there's some plays out there, just details of where we need to be. So there's some stuff to clean up, but it's one week at a time.
At Safety Zane Anderson with sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. You might think Americans don't work as hard as they used to, but that is not true at all when it comes to TV watching. Tube viewing was up 5% overall for the month of November, but that does not include Thanksgiving, which would have driven the numbers up even higher. According to Nielsen, the reason for the increased viewing was the election, World Series, and the Mike Tyson-Jake Paul snooze fest. A Nielsen pie graph shows broadcast networks with 23.7% of viewers. Streaming services accounted for 41.5%, which is up 1% from the previous month. Cable accounted for 25% of TV watching. In the category of other on the graph, it showed 9.7%. I'm guessing those are people who just leave the TV on and stare at the Roku home screen indecisively. Speaking of streaming, Netflix really hit a home run last month with the Tyson-Paul fight, even though it left viewers watching mostly a rotating buffering ball. Netflix's The Lincoln Lawyer was the most viewed streamer for the month with 3.9 billion views. Well done, couch potatoes. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Plenty of clouds overnight, but frigid temperatures are our biggest concern. Cold weather advisory in effect. Lows near 5 below. Wind chills as cold as 25 below zero, thanks to gusty northwest winds. Mostly sunny near 5 above Thursday afternoon. It's zero at our studios.
Earl Ingram.
Mr. Ben Wickler, he is running for the national DNC chair. The fundamental problem was the Democratic brand. Do you think that is the case more than the Harris campaign?
Core answer is yes. The Democratic brand, it's not what we necessarily do or say. It's what people have heard and internalized. And that to me is an argument for thinking about how and where we communicate, making sure we are present in places where people are thinking about stuff other than politics.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Albaugh Show.
Luke Matheris, you let the dogs out.
I let the dogs out. It was me. After about 15 minutes, I go out there and I'm like, what is this mound? An opossum playing dead in the middle of the yard. So I'm out there kind of hollering, like trying to corral the dogs. And then we finally got Aurora to come in the house, stepped away for a little bit, came back and was gone. I really hope that it remembers this traumatic experience and never comes back in my yard again.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pat Kreitlow.
Thursday morning on Up North News Radio, we'll have the latest on the April election for state school superintendent. The matchup isn't what a lot of folks would have expected.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
don't know about you, but if you had to break up with a friend, a radio station, a loved one, a family member, or a romantic partner because of politics, this is happening, frankly, pretty frequently. I want to hear from you because I'm fascinated by this. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. For me, I'll just say this, and then I want to go to the phones and the text lines. There has to be so much more than a disagreement on, you know, a particular take on a certain issue. It can't just be some sort of transactional difference of opinion or even unintentional, what I'm going to call something said poorly, right? We all flub up in how we say things. But for me, in order to end a friendship or stop talking to a family member or break up with someone, it's going to have to be pretty significantly serious and point to really the heart of our value system. So I've got some statistics on this, but I want to hear from you all more than the statistics here and more than this recent study. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. And I'm particularly interested in dating age and everybody's dating age, but, you know, before your first marriage or maybe your second marriage, women, because there's a gender and demographic shift that has happened as well. We know, especially in the youngest cohort of voters after this last election, men moved to the right and women sort of moved to the right, but more of them stayed left. So there's this political divide, especially for the youngest cohort of voters, on gender lines. Like, what does that mean going forward? I mean, we know that fewer women are looking to get married as early as they did once. Many women aren't getting married at all. What does all this mean? 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Richard from Waukesha, you've been very patient, sir. Thank you. Have you had to break up with a friend, family member, or romantic partner over politics? And what was the straw that broke the camel's back?
Oh, could be. I'm not really sure. I was just interested in making a comment about this murder.
Yes, go ahead, sir.
And the questions I'm wondering about is, did the backpack move from New York to Pennsylvania while he didn't know it? And was it different contents? Or what is the case with that? I know in the case of, like O.J. Simpson, you know, the lab stuff appeared from the lab on the scene all of a sudden. And like other cases, you know, if somebody's creating something. I know New York is a big city, and I know I watched some programs about Precinct 93, I think it was, where they had the poorest section, and that's where the police would collect all the money.
A whole bunch of questions there. Thanks. Thank you, Richard. Appreciate it. Let me address what I think the first question was. I believe Mr. Mangiano was arrested with a backpack that, according to photos and reporting I've seen, looked substantially similar to the backpack that was being carried by the suspect and that was recorded on video in New York City. The second question that you're asking about is, frankly, chain of evidence, preservation of evidence, and contamination of crime scenes. Certainly, to date, the science and I think police procedures for avoiding contamination of crime scenes and evidence, chain of custody of evidence, preservation of evidence is improved since during O.J. Simpson's time. I can't comment on the Simpson case. It's been too long, but I do recall that there were issues with potential evidence contamination, not just on scene, but the evidence itself that was collected. What was it actually collected from the scene? Sort of chain of custody issues. That's always critical in any case where there is not an admission or a confession by a defendant, and where the prosecution is going to be based largely on physical evidence, as it appears to be the case with Mr. Mangiano. Thank you so much, Richard from Waukesha, asking some really interesting questions. Oh, the other thing Richard mentioned was, I believe, police seizures of cash and other property in advance of conviction. This is called civil forfeiture. It's a real constitutional problem. I should spend a whole show talking about civil asset forfeiture, which basically allows the police to take your stuff before you ever been convicted of a crime. That's weird. Looks like a little constitutional loophole there, doesn't it? Yeah. Help me remember that one, Cardi. I got to do civil asset forfeiture. We should do a whole show on it.
Definitely. I'm with you on that.
I mean,
it's a tongue twister.
Yeah, and it's a little shady business. Oh my gosh, I forgot to tell everybody the two movies that were that have this really weird, eerie, I don't want to call it prediction, but like there's some analogies, some echo, I don't know, to the whole situation with Mr. Luigi Mangione. Here are the two movies. If you haven't seen them in a while, one's very new. It came out last year. One's been out for a long time. But you should go check them out because, yikes. One of them is Denzel Washington in John Q. Do you remember that movie from like 2001? Where he plays a dad who basically holds an ER hostage so he can get his son the operation that he needs. That feels kind of analogous to this situation, does it not? So John Q. And then the other film is called To Catch a Killer. And the star of that movie, it just came out. It was released in April of last year. The star of that movie is Shailene Woodley. And it's about a guy who goes around randomly shooting people. And it's basically because he's so disaffected with the system and has been sort of ostracized and things. But the thing that's creepy about it is that it's in response to sort of, again, system problems, right? His disaffectation comes from this angry place. There are also some moments in the Shailene Woodley film. It's about halfway through and they're trying to find this guy who's been randomly shooting people. And they've got a lead and they get a call from someone they think might be the shooter. And the guy starts talking about the enemy from within. I kid you not. Yeah. It's real creepy. The guy starts talking about the enemy from within. They start talking about like racially based extremist violence and the three percenters. Anyways, all of it just made me really weirded out. John Q and To Catch a Killer. I don't know. You watch them. You tell me if they creep you out too. Like, that's just a little bit too on point for the current moment. Speaking of too on point for the current moment, apparently politics has gotten so on point that we're breaking up with one another, or at least threatening to do so, and Googling divorce lawyers a lot. An organization that is called, I want to get this title correct. Let's see, where is this? It's like oh, here it is. WeGoDating.com. It's an organization that analyzes dating patterns. So they analyzed Google Trends data for breakup-related terms following the election. Things like how to break up, divorce lawyer, couples therapy, marriage counseling. Isn't that interesting? And so they then calculated a relationship stress ranking for all the states based on the frequency of Google searches for these breakup terms, and then organize this basically in states that went real red, real blue, or the swing states. Would it surprise you, y'all, that Wisconsin is clocking in at number two with breakup intent and relationship stress? Yeah, maybe not something that we should applaud, but clearly we're having some issues in our relationships over partisan differences. Pennsylvania was number one, Georgia number three, Michigan number four, all swing states. New Hampshire, weirdly, number five. I mean, huh? Very interesting. So I wanted to share with you all, I've had to do this. I've had to end a friendship. I've had to end a relationship over politics. And I did everything in my power, at least by within reason, I felt, to avoid that. Have you had to do this? 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. So I'm going to tell you about this. I have had a really good girlfriend for 15 years. At least 15 years. She's part of a group of about six or seven women. We travel together every year, once maybe twice if we get real lucky together. Most of them are in the medical profession. And here's what went down. And there's people from, there's two of us that are like left of center. Then there's like three or four that don't really care about politics all that much. And then there's a few, there's two that are like right of center. And then there's this one friend that was way right. And one of the other conservatives in the group, her parents were in their 80s. And this was during COVID. And the far, far right friend, who I'm going to call Sally, went to go visit Susie's 80-year-old parents. Okay, you get this? So they're both conservatives, but Sally's way right and Susie's like just right of center. Susie asked Sally to wear a mask when she went to visit her family and to socially distance. Even though Susie is just slightly right of center, Sally's way right. She said, my parents are 80 plus. They've got health issues. You're all conservatives, but please, I'm worried about my parents' wellness. You're flying all over. This woman who was far right was in sales. And she said, please wear a mask around my parents and socially distance. And the next bit of communication Susie got from Sally was a photo of Sally and her parents during their visit, no masks on, selfieing, all close together with their heads smashed together. This led to a bit of a riff. And subsequently, I tried to talk with Sally about it and say, you know, here's what I'm seeing from my perch at Milwaukee County. People are dying of this. I think your friend was legitimately concerned. And this woman basically told me to mind my own beeswax. And COVID is made up. And so are all of the medical statistics surrounding COVID. It's all just made up. And then proceeded to send me some pretty offensive text messages. And that, my friends, was the end of that. Like, didn't need that from someone who is supposed to be my friends. And it wasn't just the like, let's disagree and not talk about this. This was the like, you're full of it, which, you know, I wasn't having at the time. I want to hear from you. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. If you had to break up with someone over politics, friend, family member, or romantic partner, keep it locked. We'll go to the phones and take your text next. Right here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, 855-75-CIVIC.
We
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for the Todd Allball Show.
At some point, you'll need to take money out of your IRA and 401k. What should you know about these mandatory withdrawals? First, they're called required minimum distributions, or RMDs, and you must start taking them when you're 73, or if you were born in 1960 or later, 75. RMDs apply to your traditional IRA and 401k, but not your Roth IRA or Roth 401k. The amount you take out is based on your account balance and age, but if you don't take out the required amount each year, you could face a 25% penalty. You can withdraw more than your RMD each year, but keep in mind that your withdrawals are taxable. When you inherit an IRA or 401k, you still must take RMDs, but you typically must take out all the money within 10 years. After you've started taking RMDs, you must do so by the end of each year. So, if you haven't taken them for 2024, you may need to act quickly. Learn as much as you can about them. You'll want to make the right moves at the right time. This is Clay Kanoki, your Edward Jones Financial Advisor, at 715-421-0958. Member SIPC.
Do you catch yourself quoting TV shows like that? It could win you a free meal and make you our next star of the day with Culver's. Join the morning show on WFHR every Friday.
What you talking about, Willis?
My name's James, and I'm telling people every Friday we'll play a theme song or a quote from a movie.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give
it. You call 424-2600, give the correct answer, and you'll win a family pack from our Wisconsin Rapids Culver's.
To the Batmobile.
Join the morning show every Friday for Culver's Star of the Day.
I love it when a plan comes together.
Finding the special healthcare resources families need just got easier. Wisconsin Wayfinder, Children's Resource Network, helps kids with delays, disabilities, special healthcare needs, and mental health conditions. Call toll-free 877-947-2929. Ask questions, get answers. Connect today toll-free 877-947-2929. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. You're going to want to keep it locked, though, because my little buddy Dom Salvia is coming up next, and he's going to drop a word on you in the 4 o'clock hour. That is going to be the word to text in via the Civic Media app to qualify to win either $100 or an overnight getaway to the Chula Vista Resort in Wisconsin Dells as part of Civic Media's grown-up gift list text to win sweepstakes contest right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. So keep it locked. We've been talking about, you know, breaking up with a friend, family member, or romantic partner because of politics. I've had to do a friend breakup and a romantic partner breakup over this. I also want to just share this. According to the Pew Research Center, half of single adults currently aren't seeking dating relationships. And when they broke it down by gender, 61% of men were looking to date or find a relationship, while only 38% of women were. You add on top of this, starting basically in the late 70s, women have outnumbered men in institutions of higher education and educational attainment by a clip. And then you layer on the fact that culturally, the tradition in the United States is that women are taught, conditioned to try to marry up someone older, more wealthy, or with higher educational attainment. And men generally are acculturated to marry women that are younger, less well-off, and less academically accomplished. It's called hypogamy. Hypogamy? I don't even know if I'm saying it right. H-Y-P-O-G-A-M-Y. And then you layer on top of that the fact that there is a widening gender divide in political preference doesn't paint a really rosy picture. Jack from Merrimack says this: there was an event I used to attend almost every week. One of the participants was pretty eccentric, but I didn't pay attention to his conspiracy theories. A week before the election, he said the Biden administration was a dictatorship. I thought of him as a friend, but I just can't stomach being around anybody who helped elect Trump. Fortunately, my wife and I both agree on politics, but if we didn't, we agree that we couldn't be together. Wow. John from Oshkosh, I'm dropping out of a fantasy football league after this year with guys from high school. We've been doing this for 24 years, all due to the disgusting and ongoing jokes and political banter by some in the league. Ew. Yikes. That is super hard to stomach. A texter from the 414, my sister-in-law was disinherited by her father because she did not vote for Trump. He totally shuns her now. Wow. Another texter from the 920, Kathleen from Oshkosh, says, I also had to end a friendship over politics, very similar to yours, Maggie, where it was during COVID and my friend continued to not social distance and didn't wear a mask and everything was pro-Trump this and that on her Facebook posts and she was just spreading misinformation and I ended up just having to cut it off. Mary from Wauwatosa says, no breakup experience, but we keep peace in our politically divided family by not discussing our religious or political differences. Hypothetically, I would not continue in an intensely differing political relationship because of the stress. And stress reduction is such an important factor in lifestyle and wellness. Couldn't agree with you more, Mary. What about you? Have you had to end a relationship due to political differences? I am trying to get my mouse to work so that I can get some of these callers on. Cardi, can you bring on Paul from Slinger?
Yes, I can. One second.
And some X-Files sound. Can you bring Let's take a listen to Paul from Slinger if we can. Paul from Slinger, are you there? It's Maggie. And have you had to end a relationship over politics?
Maggie, I have had so many relationships harmed because of what's happened in the past several years. Let's start by saying I was a school board member during COVID. I lost half my friends because we had to shut our school down.
Yes.
But I will say, as far as my family and my friends, I have a certain friend who I used to work with. We are now both retired. We always got along great. We were always separate. We always were opposites. This whole thing of Donald Trump has changed to something hateful. Yeah. This man has turned, he's a retired person.
Mm-hmm.
He's a former Marine. I worked with him for almost 30 years. We've always gotten along. But this whole thing about Obamacare and everything he's got going in his life has turned to hate.
Yeah.
He moved to the state of Mississippi so he can just say, I don't have to pay taxes anymore. He's totally against paying income taxes at all.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, that sort of extremism, very difficult. Rob from Madison, have you had to break up with somebody because of politics?
Actually, I had just started. I've been dating for a few years now. I'm a little bit older, 57 years old. And I, you know, online dating is such a great event anyway. This woman told me, oh, yeah, I'm really kind of, you know, middle of the road politically. And I'm kind of sitting the same way. Well, we were sitting there at a date. Everything was going fairly good. She lied to start with and said she was 55, and she was actually 62 if she was a day. Anyways, all of a sudden she started on the Trump, this Trump, that. He's the greatest guy ever. Trump, Trump, Trump. And I looked outside and I said, lady, you're driving a piece of crap Fiesta living in this trailer house. You don't make enough money to be a Trumper.
Yeah, Trump's no friend of yours unless you got a bunch of billionaire bro friends that can hook up cryptocurrencies and buy social media platforms. Rob from Madison, thanks so much. If you're on the lines and I couldn't get to you, I apologize. We'll talk about this again sometime. I think it's a good one. My name is Maggie Dawn. You've been listening to The Maggie Dawn Show. You got Dom Salvia coming up next. Keep it locked because the Text to Win contest coming up. Dow's going to drop that number on you. Remember, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me, but it's always better when we stand together.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Up North News Radio.
Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Wisconsin Senator Tammy Baldwin will be joining us. Also, Paul Noonan to talk all things sports and Aaron Rodgers. Don't miss it.
Mattenair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Wisconsin Women's Basketball brought to you by 8th Street Auto, Econ Electric, and Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep. Listen on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, and streaming live on the Civic Media app.
Fear you're missing out when you miss our conversations on air? You can always join the discussion on our social media channels. Find Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also find social media for specific shows and hosts on our website. Go to civicmedia.us.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Progressive Insurance.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. The Franklin Fire in Malibu, California has damaged at least six structures and destroyed nine. It has burned over 6 square miles, and there are no reports of significant injuries or deaths. Dusty Martin is one of the incident commanders.
Currently, we have 6,300 citizens that are evacuated out of their homes, and I want you to know that we do not take that lightly. Our team, our unified command, we are working diligently to get the area secured to be able to get people back into their homes.
The fire is 7% contained. United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson was laid to rest on Monday. The man suspected of fatally shooting him in Manhattan last week remains in an Altoona, Pennsylvania jail and is fighting extradition to New York City, where police say of the gun found on Luigi Mangione.
We were able to match that gun to the three shell casings.
For the first time, the NYPD says forensic evidence.